Welcome to Documentary First, a behind-the-scenes look at the girl who wore freedom, an inside look at a first-time filmmaker's journey. I'm your host, Josh Lindsay, and with me is Christian Taylor, our filmmaker.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Christian.
Good to see you.
Thank you. And with us, as always, is our trusty-dusty research extraordinaire, Jason Rugg.
Hey there.
So I am the host of the podcast, and if you are a podcast listener and you love movies, you may have heard of the Movie Proposal, where I'm the co-host with Sky Gitani, who is on another podcast, The Holy Post, with Phil Vischer, who is on a podcast with Christian Taylor.
Right.
The same podcast, The Holy Post.
Right. But that's, what a tangled web we weave.
That's right. That's right.
We have known each other now for quite a long time, and it all kind of began when Phil Vischer started VeggieTales along many, many years ago.
And then I joined that journey in 1999 for 3 years.
I just happened to be a neighbor.
Lived across the street from you.
Yeah. And then
my future wife was living with you.
That's true. That's true.
Another tangled web.
And Jason kind of came along. How long have you been around?
Man, I've been here almost 3 years. I interned about five years ago at this point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of watched Jason grow up in this little world. So, and now here we are. So
if you're listening to this podcast, you want to learn more about the behind the scenes of the soon to be released documentary, The Girl Who Wore Freedom. This is, what'd you call it, a brainchild of yours, Christian?
It is a brainchild of mine. It's sort of a something incredible, an incredible story that landed in my lap, really. I don't know, what's the word you say when something just happens, it was meant to be, it's...
Serendipity?
Serendipitously, yes. Right. It kind of fell in my lap that way, and it was a story that I felt compelled to tell. Like, I didn't have another way to get out of it, but...
Well, our mission of this podcast is to enlighten, educate, and inspire our audience, and so let's kick it off with a little bit of trivia. The Girl Who Wore Freedom is a documentary. So, Christian, can you tell us, what is cinema verite?
Cinema verite. As best I understand it, it is the truth of the film, the essence of the film, what you're trying to get across. But it might be good if we ask our researcher over here what the exact definition is.
Cinema verite is a style of filmmaking characterized by realistic, typically documentary motion pictures that avoid artificially and artistic effect and are generally made with simple equipment.
It is what it is.
Does that describe your film?
Yes.
All right.
Very much so. We are a documentary. It is we are trying to tell the truth of a story. And we're doing it very simply as we can, because we don't have a very big budget.
Understood. So and this is your first film.
Yes.
You are the first-time filmmaker we're talking about here.
Yes.
So why don't you give us a quick background? Because you have an extensive background in performing and the arts and film, but not making a film. So what's your background?
Yeah, so I studied theater and broadcasting in college. And before that, I worked on Capitol Hill in radio and television news. And I did a lot of, you know, interviewing of congressmen and senators. And I learned how to make little audio programs and video programs. This is back, you know, I don't know, were you alive in 1980?
I was alive.
When were you born?
I was negative 15.
Holy cow.
Oh, man, I'm so old. So anyway, that is kind of how I got into the world of media. And then I majored in theater and broadcasting in college. And after that, I went with a touring company, the National Players. They're the nation's longest running classical touring company, I might add. And then I took off, had children, and the whole industry changed. It went from analog, you know, actually using tape to a digital world that I didn't understand. And then I went and volunteered at Wheaton College Radio. You may have heard that. Mm-hmm. And I walked in there and didn't recognize a single piece of equipment. And they, you know, trained me kind of on this new digital world. And that was back in the early 1990s.
But since then, you have gone on to have a very successful career as a voiceover actress.
That is true. Thank you very much.
Which I got to say, from my experience of working a little bit in the film industry and especially being at VeggieTales, meeting a lot of wannabe voiceover actors, because it seems like an easy gig.
Yes,
a lot of fun, make a ton of money, right? But so, so difficult to get into that industry and be successful. And when I heard you were doing this, I kind of chalked it up as one of those people who was just going to give it a shot, and in 3 years you'd be on to something else. But you are not only successful, I think you are fantastic, because several times my wife Angie will play a commercial and say, listen to this. And she'll say, it's you, and I won't believe her. It's amazing. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks. You know, I'm so glad you point that out. It's so true. Like, I had somebody say to me just today, oh, yeah, I was thinking about having my daughters do that. I mean, it can't be that hard. And I just want to be like, oh, my gosh. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about going in the world of voiceover, let me tell you this. It is the most competitive, the most difficult, you know, industry to kind of break in this entertainment world. And it is takes a lot of money up front, a lot of studying, a lot of connections, a lot of different stuff. But what I've learned in Chicago is, yes, I've been very successful at that. But in order to make a living, make a good living, you really need to diversify. And I wanted to dig into the Chicago production community, and I began volunteering with a lot of other producers on their projects. So about 15 years ago, I started working with a guy named Lars Ulberg, who was a producer from L.A., and he'd moved home to take care of his parents, and Sandy Gordon, another producer in Chicago. And I kind of cut my teeth on producing, as, you know, helping them with their projects, and found out I had a real knack for it. And I think about it, you know, as I look back, I honestly think it's because I've been in the industry so long and I've seen so many different pieces of it, but I also think it's because I'm a good mom.
Well, you are a great mom, and you're also great at bringing people together, which I'm sure that is a big part of a producer's role, is finding talented people and getting them in the same room and driving in the same direction.
I say it's getting in the same boat and rowing in the same.
Okay,
I've said
great.
That like I don't know how many times.
Okay.
Same concept.
Okay. So we'll go with the boat analogy. So who else is in the boat with you? And how is this film getting made?
Yeah. So I have to say that the most important thing from the very beginning was finding the right group of people, because I knew that I didn't know how to tell a documentary or create a film at all, but I did know a lot of people in the industry that could help me. And so I went to Lars Ulberg and Sandy Gordon and said, hey, this is my idea. You know, can I do this? What do you think about this? And they began advising me on ways to start in terms of finding out what my story is and all of the different challenges that lay ahead of me. And, you know, I had to talk to my family. We all had to commit as a family that we were going to do this financially and every other way. You know, my time was going to be severely limited. But I think what's interesting at this point, and it's why I feel like this documentary is critically important, I could have never fathomed, really, that I could produce a film. And now here we are, almost 2 years later, really three from the very beginning. And if I would have known what I know now about how to create what I'm in the process of creating, I don't know that I would have ever started. But what I do know now looking back is that if I can do this, anyone can do this, truthfully. Mm-hmm. You just have to have a better understanding of the industry, and you have to believe that you can do this. And there are some individual things that you do need to do and gifts that you need to cultivate. But truthfully, if you're listening to this podcast and you have a story to tell, I want to encourage you to think about how to tell it, to keep listening to this podcast, because I'm going to give you a lot of successes I've had and failures and mistakes I've made. But one thing that Ken Burns says to me, he's one of my favorite documentary filmmakers, he says that truthfully, you can study all you want about making a documentary, but you know nothing until you make your first one.
You just got to go do it.
You just need to do it. And I find that to be 100% true. So,
well, we just had the producer of Elf on our podcast recently, Todd, I'm going to say
Komornicki.
Komornicki. He was telling us a story how he often gets invited to speak at universities and colleges and so forth to want to be producers and writers and so forth and give his story and advice. And he says, I'm going to tell you right now what I'm going to tell him, which is, if you want to be a writer, you need to leave this auditorium and you need to go home and start writing.
Yep.
And you just keep writing and writing and writing. And Sky Jatani, who was also a writer, he jumped all over that and said, yes, people are looking for, I don't know, the shortcut way or just a class to take or the inspiration they need when they just need to be home writing. They just need to go do it.
Right.
So now, you don't have a film studio or a sound stage.
I do
or a big,
not.
You know, giant production
no.
company. I mean, so like give us maybe a minute or two on just how are you actually making the film. I mean, first of all, you had to go to Normandy to shoot the film.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the biggest challenges. This is a film that is in two languages in two different countries, and that is an incredible challenge. And the other challenge is that my entire team is virtual. None of us work in the same place.
Okay.
And so we have endeavored to do something that is almost nearly impossible. Like, I feel like we are on the cutting edge of what new technology is allowing us to do, but we have run into so many different problems because no technology exists to kind of help us. We've had to cobble things together in order to get something done. It reminds me of when Phil talks about how he wanted to animate characters and there was no CGI at the time, and he cobbled together a machine,
sure.
So much so that he got candy bars at first, but then vegetables, but they couldn't even have any arms. So it's sort of the same thing, but just, you know,
you're inventing by necessity?
Yes. Huh. Yeah. So, you know, I have a lot of things to share on this podcast about how we, you know, are doing what we're doing right now. So just so you know, we are in the post-production phase. We are set to screen this in Normandy this summer.
Post-production means you've shot the film.
Yes.
It's all on what I would, you know, most people call video or film, right? And then someone is editing it right now.
Several people are editing. Jason is one of our, you know, trusty assistant editors, but we have about five or six that are kind of helping us. And then we've had translators and transcribers and people that are subtitling. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. If you have ever wondered why the credits are so long at the end of movies, I can tell you.
Who's the best boy?
We don't even have a best boy.
You don't even have a best boy.
No.
Oh.
No,
you have
it's
like
interesting.
A mediocre boy?
You can cut out a lot of jobs that you see on that list, but you still have to have people that do all those responsibilities. You just lessen the people that do them.
So going forward on this podcast, what types of topics are we going to be hitting? So our audience can get an idea.
Yeah, well, you can. You're
going to cover that.
Yeah, go ahead because you're going to drive this. You're going to be asking me the questions and.
Well, Christian, we're going to talk about the inspiration. How did you even get this idea? How did it get started? So that beginning phase, that serendipitous experience you had, then the actual like step by step putting it together. What is the day job? In raising money, having investors, that's a big part of it. Because you're not just there filming it, but you're talking to people about getting involved from a financial point of view and so on. So we'll cover a lot of those details so you get a better idea of how a documentary gets made in this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's super important to understand, like, you know, when did we decide to make this story? Why do I say that I felt compelled to do it? I didn't have another choice. How do I financially work and, you know, pay the overhead for Taylor Productions at the same time I'm creating a whole new business, which is what a film is? How do I figure out what the story is? How do we, you know, fundraise in order to do this film? You know, what do you do to tell a documentary story? What are the different pieces? You know, what is it like to work with a writer or a composer? How do you find these people? How do you get people to volunteer when you have no money? Spoiler alert, it happens to do with podcasts sometimes. You know, and, you know, how do you conduct interviews? How do you, you know, we can talk about lighting, we can talk about camera, we can talk about, there's just so many different things. But in the end, you know, one of the things that I think is most important is how do you get the ball across the finish line? Because what I am finding is where projects collapse most of the time is in the post-production. And I can tell you why and how to avoid that.
Well, I can't wait to learn. Well, cool. Well, thank you for Jason for being here, Christian for doing this podcast and making the film. I just want to say to our listening audience, thank you for listening to Documentary First, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and you can be the one to tell it. And next time on Documentary First, do you know what our subject's going to be?
I think I might have an idea.
Well, I don't. Do you want to tell us?
Yeah. we're going to talk about the inspiration behind the story.
The inspiration.
How did it start?
Yeah. All right. I can't wait. So thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.